Welcome in to our Sunday evenings together here at Faith Baptist Church. I invite you now to open with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23 as we continue our series of messages through the names of God, a series we entitled, Who is God? We've now been in this series for some 16 weeks together, and our series started very different than how it's gone. We started in person, and now we've been doing it virtually online for several weeks now. But if you remember with me in some of those beginning messages, I started this series by quoting a 20-year-old C.H. Spurgeon as justification for studying the names of God. I'd like to read once more a section from that quote. Spurgeon said this, "He who often thinks of God will have a larger mind than the man who simply plods around this narrow globe. The most excellent study for the expanding of the soul is the knowledge of the Godhead." Giving God the proper place in our hearts and lives means that we take the time and make the effort to connect with Him. Of course, the key to giving God His place in our lives is knowing who He is and what He is like. And that is why the names of God are so important. God's names introduce to us who God is. And so once again, I'd like to review the names that we've looked at together. First, we looked at the name Adonai, which means Master and Lord of all. We then looked at the name Elohim, the covenant-keeping Creator God. El Shaddai, the Almighty Powerful One. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Akkad, the One God. El Chul, the Giver of Life. From there, we looked at Yahweh, or Jehovah, the self-existent eternal God, and then the compound names of Yahweh. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Jehovah Nisi, the God is my banner of protection. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And last week, we looked at Jehovah Mikdash, the Lord who sanctifies. Tonight, I ask you to open with me to Psalm 23, and a message we've entitled Jehovah Rohi as a continuation in this series. The name Jehovah Rohi means, the Lord is my shepherd. If you recall in your personal walk with the Lord, perhaps the most famous passage in Scripture dealing with the Lord as shepherd is Psalm 23. Many of you perhaps have memorized this psalm, even from your childhood. And the first few verses of Psalm 23 are particularly relevant for our study in the name of God, names of God. Not just the name Jehovah Rohi, but many of the other names we've already learned together. Let's read that passage together. Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord could have compared His people to anything He wanted to in this world. He could have said, "My people are like bears, they are strong." He could have said, "My people are like lions, they are courageous." He may have said, "My people are like foxes, they are shrewd and wise." He could have said, "My people are like doves, they are peaceful and meek." Instead, when the Lord described His people, He described them as being sheep. As you may or may not know, sheep are not the brightest animals. In fact, they have the reputation for being quite dumb. They are dumb and defenseless. They require, then, a shepherd to care for them and protect them. They require someone who will look out for even the smallest of needs and who will lead them where they need to be and take care of their physical provisions. The Lord said, "My people are like sheep." And when the Lord calls us sheep, it may be less than flattering, but it is right on target. The sheep, despite their stupidity, becomes familiar with the voice of their shepherd. They know His sound, His presence, His smell. There is a bond between the sheep and the shepherd that just isn't found anywhere else in the world of agriculture. The application, then, is particularly poignant when it comes to our own spiritual walk. The question must ring through your heart. Do you know Jehovah Rohi as more than just the God up there, but the Lord who is your shepherd? If you are ever come to understand and know him, you will turn to learn what being called a sheep isn't such a bad thing after all. This much beloved psalm allows us to glimpse into the unique relationship between the heavenly shepherd and the human sheep. We're reminded in these verses that we enjoy a special bind with our shepherd, who is in all things personal, purposeful, and providing of his sheep. It's unique, and it's actually particularly scheduled here in this series that we now look to Psalm 23 after examining many of the other names of Jehovah already. Because in here in Psalm 23, we read already that God is leading us in the paths of righteousness for a reason, he said, verse 2. He's leading us this way for his name's sake. And so as we learn Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd, much of the other names of God are tied into the context of this chapter, and we will be looking to that even in our message together this evening. But we begin by noting that Jehovah Rohi is a personal shepherd. David indicates that his relationship with the heavenly shepherd is very close and personal. Notice the use of the word my shepherd in verse 1. This is a deeply personal relationship for David to use in the psalm. God is not just a shepherd to David, God is my shepherd. But what precisely is David trying to convey when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd"? You see, your shepherd's personal relationship with you is magnified in his name. Verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David identifies the object of his love as being the Lord. This is the great I am. This is the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God of eternity, the one and only God, the great God that placed his name all over this psalm. In fact, you can trace the name of God woven through this psalm in particularly compelling ways in light of all that we've already studied in this Name of God series. Notice he says in verse 1 that the Lord is my shepherd. That's the name we're looking at this evening, Jehovah Rohi. He also says, I shall not want in verse 1. Here we learn of Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. He says he will make me lie down in green pastures. This is the Lord my peace, Jehovah Shalom. He says that in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. This is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. He says that the Lord is there in verse 3. He's always there for his name's sake. He also says, the Lord is my banner of protection. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He says, that's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This is a reference to God's sanctifying work, Jehovah Mikdesh. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a reference to Jehovah El Elyon, the Lord Most High. But notice in our passage that all of these names of the Lord that David could have magnified most, or the names that we've studied together, out of all of these names, David says, God is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Why this particular name to be highlighted? Why did David choose to emphasize the Lord as his shepherd in Psalm 23? David chose to emphasize Jehovah Rohi because the image of a shepherd tenderly leading, feeding, and caring for his sheep is a perfect picture of our precious relationship with our Savior. In fact, the image of a shepherd is exactly the one that Jesus conveyed to convey his relationship with those who follow him. He would say in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I praise the Lord that when I got saved, I got more than just a Savior. I got a shepherd. I got one who loves me, tends to me, cares about me, leads me, feeds me, protects me, guides me through life. When you and I got saved, we met one who made us his top priority. We have a personal relationship with our shepherd, and that's only magnified in his name. Your shepherd's personal relationship is also magnified in his nature. When this psalm begins, David is writing in the first person. In doing so, he uses the possessive pronoun, my shepherd, to talk about the relationship with his shepherd. He did not say, the Lord is a shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, or the Lord is your shepherd. Instead, David tells us that the Lord is my shepherd. This statement would have shook the readers of biblical times. At that time, the temptation of Israel was to speak only about our God. Their go-to verse is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, when it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one Lord. In their rush to quote and memorize that verse, however, they had forgot that God, the God of Israel, is also the God of individuals. This is another reason why Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep to a Jewish audience. When he says in Luke 15, verse 3, And he spake unto them in a parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after the one which was lost until he find it? And he that hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In other words, God is saying, My nature is to seek out the individual. I love you. The Census Bureau of the United States says that there are at least 7 billion people in the world today. And the Bible tells us that God knows each and every one of those people by name. I wonder if your name then is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know Jesus as your personal shepherd? God not only cares, God cares about you. In that famous verse, John 3:16, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that word whoever really is for you. You. It includes you. Do you truly know a personal shepherd? It's magnified in his name. It's magnified in his very nature. It is who he is. Therefore, when the Lord calls us sheep, it may to us seem less than flattering, but it is right on target. Psalm 23 outlines for us a beautiful picture of Jehovah Rohi as a shepherd. And each one of these inspired words is meant to paint an image in our mind's eye of what a loving shepherd is really like. And at the beginning of this noble psalm, David pens and says, The Lord is my personal shepherd. Can I ask you, do you know Jehovah Rohi as your shepherd today? But this Jehovah Rohi is more than just personal. Jehovah Rohi is a purposeful shepherd. God not only cares for you personally, but he also guides you in the way you should go. Nothing that our sovereign God allows to happen within his divine plan is wasteful or accidental. God has a very real purpose for each step he guides his children to take, and he is right there with them along the way. You see, your shepherd is there to give you a purpose in life. Here is where the relationship between a human shepherd and his sheep and a heavenly shepherd and his sheep move in different directions. The good shepherd gives his sheep something no human shepherd could ever provide for his flock. He provides life. While the human shepherd provides everything needed by his sheep to maintain life, the fact remains that the sheep receive their life outside of the actual human shepherd. Jesus, on the other hand, finds his sheep dead in their trespasses and sins. You see that phrase in Psalm 23, restoreth my soul? That phrase in Psalm 23, restoreth my soul, literally means to bring back. To bring back even from the dead. What he's saying is the good shepherd gives his sheep life. And his life that is now provided to them, it should encompass all of their new life. John Wesley was gloriously saved. And when John Wesley wrote about the purpose of his life after he was saved, Wesley would write into his journal these words, "I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field." In an article entitled, "Are We Ready for Heaven?" Maurice R. Irwin points out that only 34% of American people who call themselves Christians attend church at least once a week. He says in the article, "We sing, 'When all my labors and trials are over and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me.' However, unless our attitudes toward the Lord and our appreciation for Him greatly change, heaven for most may come as more of a shock than a glory." Dear Christian, do you understand that God did not just give you life to leave you as you are? He restores your soul. He restores your soul that you may have purpose in this life and purpose in this life afterwards. There are many who will come from time to time and say, "I wish I just knew what God would have me to do." God would restore your soul. You would have a life lived completely for Him. It's time we get awakened to our noble purpose with life for Christ. But your shepherd also gives and provides you the right leadership in this new life. The good shepherd always leads his sheep in the right way. Whether his path leads us through the glen in verse 2 or through the gorge in verse 4, he always leads us in the best path, because the best path is his path. The words "path" here come from a word that means circuit or orbit. The Lord's leadership always leads us in a path then, and the path, the imagery that the psalmist is portraying here, is one of orbit. In other words, the Lord's paths lead us in an orbit around Himself. Just as the bodies in the heavens are subject to the gravitational pull of the sun, so too, those who are in Christ are subject to the gravitational pull of the sun, S-O-N. Peter Forsyth was right when he put this: "The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master." A.W. Tozer says that people who are crucified with Christ have three distinguishing marks. People that are crucified with Christ are facing only in one direction, they can never turn back, and they no longer have plans of their own. No one always likes where the path of life leads them. But if they are following the Good Shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, they are assured that He will always lead them in the right path. The psalmist says elsewhere in Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in their ways." Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. When the Lord first calls us sheep, we may think that's not very flattering. Sheep are dumb. But the truth is that the sheep analogy is right on target. In the midst of even the greatest trials of your life, you can look to your shepherd and know he's right there with you, because he's your personal and purposeful shepherd. Do you know Jehovah Rohi as your shepherd? But Jehovah Rohi is also a providing shepherd. Sheep obviously cannot voice out their needs. They're sheep. Yet naturally, the shepherd knows the needs of each and every animal in his flock. The scene in the psalm changes in verse 5. The scene has changed from a shepherd and his sheep in verse 5 to a host and his guests. And David tells us that even while moving through the territories of enemies, the Lord takes the time to treat him like an honored guest. You see, your shepherd provides you with perfect arrangements for life. Usually, a soldier in enemy territory would be forced to gulp down a hasty meal as best he could while cowering in fear of being discovered, captured, or killed. However, this verse says, the Lord spreads out a table for his children right in the middle of the enemy's territory, and all the enemy can do is watch as God's children feast on the blessings provided from the Lord. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This verse describes the Lord's faithfulness to his children, even in times of great storm. Further, the verse illustrates how when guests visited a home, in that culture, they were often anointed with oil to show them how much they meant to their host. It was considered an insult at that time not to wash the feet of your guests in your home or to anoint the head of your guests with oil. As we move through life, the Lord takes many opportunities then to invite us into close fellowship. And as the Lord invites us into this close fellowship, he does more than just wash our proverbial feet or anoint our head. He anoints us with the oil of his grace that is overflowing. His goodness and blessings are constant reminders of the abundance of peace we can know only in him. I do not think that we will ever fully grasp this. But there are times in life that seem almost unbearable to us as humans. It's in those times when the enemy comes in to mock us and question our determination to follow the Lord. But through the ministry of the Lord, God is able to turn the worst of times into the greatest of blessings. He leaves us feasting on his grace in the midst of our enemy's fields, and the enemy is left unable to hinder, harm, or even touch us. Does this promise mean we won't go to enemy fields? We won't ever face difficult times? Certainly not. But the promise is that our providing shepherd will give us the grace necessary to sustain us in trial. After all, and the New Testament authors would say that there is not a temptation that comes to you that is not common to man, but God will, with each trial, offer a way of escape that you may be able to sustain it. Therefore, God says, I've given you the perfect arrangements for life, and I've given you more than you can ever want. Your shepherd provides you with plentiful abundance. David tells us that the Lord's blessings in life are so great that he has more than you can handle. His cup has passed full and is running over. The overflowing cup literally means, my cup has an abundance of drink. It refers to a shepherd's cup, which was a large, hollowed-out stone that could hold, they guess, somewhere between 40 or 50 gallons. And from that cup, the shepherd would have the sheep drink. The pilgrim is assured that goodness and mercy will be his constant companions along the way home. These are components of grace and remind us that as we travel, we will always be blessed with grace sufficient for our needs. You know that these psalms are filled with the affirmations of God's love for us. Psalm 13, verse 5, 31, verse 7, 86, verse 5, 136, all of these 25 different times throughout the Psalms, David will repeat what he says here in Psalm 23, verse 6. He says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. David's words for God's tender affection is a term used in ancient worlds to mean love. We read mercy in our King James Bibles. It could be better translated love. In the ancient world, to love meant the deepest part of the emotions rather than just duty. It's a kind of gentle and genteel personal love. It's a kind of love that was not just quaint or passing in some stationary card, but made up of a deep relationship because not only do I fall in love with that person, but I have developed a close bond with that person. David says, surely goodness and this kind of deep, built-up love follow me all the days of my life. Now, how can I know all the days of my life God's deep, deep love is following me. I know this because God's known me from my mother's womb. The psalmist would say that even from my mother's womb, you crafted me. You know who I am. You knew my name before I was born. And so David can say, Lord, you are my shepherd. And all the days of my life, your goodness and this deep love will follow me. And if I try to wrap my mind around exactly what this means, it's as if my cup cannot possibly hold all of what this encompasses. We don't need to worry about our needs because just like the shepherd is aware of the needs of his flock and leads them in green pastures and still waters, God is also aware of our needs and how and where we need to turn to him. There's a bumper sticker maybe that you've seen that says, there's only one God, so stop applying for his position. David was a skilled warrior. David was a king who won the hearts of his people. David was a mighty man called and anointed by God, a giant killer. Nevertheless, David viewed himself as a sheep and God as his shepherd. And since sheep are so needy, they form a special bond with their shepherd. He is required to know them intimately. He knows the ones who are prone to wander. He knows the weaker ones. He knows the loyal ones too. He even knows them by name. Friend, do you know the great shepherd today? If you do, you can sing with David the song of the great shepherd. You know how good and how great he truly is. You know he is worthy of your love, your faith, your praise, your devotion. What a glorious Savior you get to sing about, a great shepherd. Of course, if you do not know him today, then much of what I just said has been foreign to you. However, if you don't know him, you, like me, can meet him. You can know him. If you are tired of wandering lost and alone in the wind hills of sin, then come to a Savior who's calling for you. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. Would he be yours? I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness." Why does he do that? For his name's sake. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, it's running over. Surely goodness, mercy, and love shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you know Jehovah Rohi as your shepherd? I understand that these names of God series, some of these names are familiar to you, some of these names less so. Many of these names have been extremely convicting to explore. Tonight's message, I trust, is extremely comforting. Jehovah Rohi is your shepherd, if you'd call out to him. You can claim, just like David, Jehovah Rohi is my shepherd. I shall not want. And though I'm wandering the paths that I've never tread, the Lord will make it for his name's sake. Why? Because he's a personal, purposeful, and providing shepherd. Who then is God to you this evening? Is God your Jehovah Rohi? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for you, our shepherd. Lord, together in this series, we have explored many different names of God, some of which are somewhat foreign to us, yet just as important. But Lord, there are some, perhaps even watching this now, that have yet to fully grasp the realities of Jehovah Rohi in their own hearts and minds. We pray that tonight would be the time that they would get to know Jehovah Rohi as their shepherd. There are others who, in the turmoil of life, in the midst of a pandemic, are struggling. We pray that your loving embrace as their shepherd would be a comfort to them. Pray all this in your name. Amen. Thank you for joining me on our video services this evening. We were privileged if you were able to join us this morning for our services both at 8:45 and 10:45 a.m. We look forward to resuming those again next week if you could join us. I also want to mention, by way of conclusion tonight, that on Wednesday nights here at the church and also live streamed to our Facebook page, we have been going through a series of messages entitled Pandemic, Now What? Growing During COVID-19. Our purpose for this series is simply to look at a very relevant thing and explore Scripture and what Scripture has to teach us in the midst of difficult times, like even a pandemic. If you could join us in person, we'll be in the auditorium at 7 p.m. If you could join us online, same time. We look forward to having you with us this Wednesday for Pandemic, Now What?